It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and by GoPSURV.com, where we are offering a special, unique RV opportunity, the Keystone Sports Network RV. With this special RV, you get all the benefits of staying at the GoPSURV.com lot, along with some special extras like a catered barbecue meal from 409 Tailgate Club, along with the 409 Tailgate Club gift box. Also included two bottles of wine with a blue and white wine gift box, a case of Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, and a Keystone Sports Network polo shirt and hat. You got one more chance for this season to do it. To learn more, email Jim, info@ksnsports.net. You can also use the Contact Us button on your KSN app. We started the show, Greg, talking Penn State Rutgers. We never really got into what we saw on the field, I think because there are some broader themes to get into. But there's some stuff that we haven't touched on yet that I think is significant, not only in Penn State winning 20-7, but also as you're trying to figure out what Penn State is, what Penn State has, not just for the remaining last regular season game and the bowl game, but moving forward as well. And I mentioned, you know, the struggles of the offense. I was curious your explanation for Penn State's passing offense struggling so badly. Trace, 17 out of 37. He was at one point 3 out of 11 or 3 out of 12. It was not a good start. I know he's prone to that, but sometimes you think, you know, this knee injury was a factor. I also felt like Rutgers was really sticky in coverage. And again, I would credit the Rutgers defense a little bit, but I think just a lack of separation with Trace's inaccuracy early settled in. But I think those were factors. And at that point, the game was already in mud.
Right. Yeah. I mean, a couple of things. Number one, Trace McSorley did not have an accurate day. There's just no question about it. But there also, yet again, we had issues of seeing receivers not getting open. And that's been a problem, really. You know, you can give David Corley a lot of flack for this, that, and the other thing, but guys struggle to get open under Josh Gattis, too. I don't know if it has, you know, the fact that, you know, they're just playing very good defensive backs. I don't know if it has something to do with the way the offense is set up and the routes that they run. I'm not sure what exactly the problem is, but this has been an issue for a little while now, and ultimately, it's a big part of why Penn State's passing game struggled when guys do not get open, and then when your quarterback cannot hit guys that are open. It's obviously going to present a pretty big problem, not just in terms of the stats, but in terms of having any kind of rhythm and consistency on offense. So, I don't know. James Franklin said after the game that he thinks it's something they can get cleaned up between now and the end of the season, after, which would include the bowl game. I don't know if that's really the case. We'll have to wait and see. But right now, this offense is just sputtering. It's really no other way to put it.
And then I think the snowball effect is you have a Rutgers defense that was pretty vulnerable against the run, against most opponents, and Penn State, 39 carries for 152 yards, collectively 3.6 yards per carry. Miles Sanders, 27 carries for 88 yards. Never really got on track, a long carry of 9 yards. There were a handful of runs where he might have been a missed tackle away from breaking into something bigger, but that second layer of Rutgers defense just was always there. There weren't any real breakaway opportunities. And I don't know. I mean, I would ask the same question. Were they just not getting to the second level? Was the offensive line, was this a step back for them? You know, they were shuffling a couple guys in and out, so I'm sure that factored in as well.
Yeah, I don't think it hurt that Connor McGovern went out, Ryan Bates went out. You know, they were rotating guys in, you know, sort of here, there, and everywhere, and it obviously isn't easy when you're doing that. So I think that played a role in it. You know, ultimately, we all projected, I'm just looking at the board here, we all projected the lowest was 31 points for Penn State, and the high end was 56. This offense would have needed probably 12 to 16 quarters to score that many points.
Oh, at least.
I mean, it just, again, Rutgers had a good game plan. There's no question about that. They had some guys on this staff that are from other Big Ten schools that have seen Trace McSorley a lot over the years, and they put a game plan in motion that combined with Penn State's, you know, again, I hate to harp on Ricky Ronnie, but I mean, yet again, we get back in these situations where it looks like the two-back thing was the new toy this week, and the toy just got played with over and over and over and over again, and it seems like that's the standard, or that's the thing he does every single week is, all right, this is a new wrinkle. Let's just keep running it every time we're in a situation that may not be, or may it may be advantageous for us, but let's just keep running it over and over and over again. It worked out okay early in the game. Rutgers started to figure it out a little bit, and it didn't end up opening up what Penn State, I think, hoped it would open up. So, yeah, you can't get the run game going. It means your passing game's going to struggle to get going, and ultimately that's how you score 20 points at Rutgers.
Yeah, I think there's – I'm looking at – I didn't realize I had picked 56-10. I'm looking at myself like, how am I picking Penn State to score 56 on anybody right now? But the matchup just seemed ripe for Penn State to break out a little bit. But the same issues again and again. Defensively, you know, I felt like if Penn State was playing a halfway respectable FBS offense, we could have been looking at a lot more trouble than 20-7 in this one. There were opportunities for Rutgers, including that fourth down jersey special play, as I think it should go down. The pass to Gio Rochinho, who nobody around him. He just had to jump. He had to jump 2 inches off the ground, and he just spiked it on the ground. I know it. In hindsight, you look back at that play, and it's funny. But if he catches that ball that he should catch, it would not have been funny at all. We would have had a ball game.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even though Rutgers probably would have struggled to score again. Yeah, because if Penn State's offense goes out there and goes three and out again, the weird thing was they were actually halfway decent on third down. They were 11 for 18 and had the ball for 5 minutes less than Rutgers and only scored 20 points. Those things typically do not go together, but Penn State somehow found a way to get them all together in this particular instance. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it just they have a lot to figure out, not just obviously over the next two games, but just moving forward in general. There's just some fundamental things that endlessly pop up, and I think that they got a lot to decide and think about as we get closer to the offseason, because the offensive coaching staff, the offensive players, there's a lot of veterans, there's a lot of young guys in both roles on the field and in the coaching box, and at times it's looked really good, and at other times this year it has looked really discombobulated for a Power 5 team that somehow might go to a New Year's Six Bowl.
We're looking at Penn State Rutgers. Penn State wins 20-7. They improved to 8-3. We're talking about offense mostly here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. And by the way, if you're looking for a unique gift idea for that Penn State fan in your life, you have to check out tailgatewine.com. And the blue and white wine gift box, they also have some wine and barbecue pairings with sauces and rubs. You can check out tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. Looking at the defense, Greg, I'm going to look at this more from a big picture perspective also. With the legitimacy, because you've obviously seen them play better. You haven't seen them play many balanced offense, truly balanced offenses.
Right.
You know, even if you look at the Michigan State loss, you look at Wisconsin, you look at Indiana, this game against Rutgers, there hasn't been a lot of a threat through the air. So you kind of hold judgment a little bit. But at the same time, I think from the start of the season to now, you've seen things develop that suggest that their rise is legitimate, because Yutar Gross-Matos is borderline unblockable at times. When he's got that frame and
length
and
speed. He's going to be stiffed on these postseason awards, isn't he? I get that feeling that he is.
Yeah, I would imagine so. To go back to the Trace McSorley, is Gross-Matos a household name? I don't know. And sometimes that wins the day on these things.
Right.
Robert Windsor is playing really good football right now. And
see his quote about people betting on him being off, whether he jump off sides. I thought that was pretty funny.
I did not see it. Was that
yeah, one of the TV stations.
I thought you were
going to
say the quote about the banana.
No, well, yeah, he was good after the game. Yeah, the banana quote was good too.
Kevin Gibbons is doing his thing, and he's eating up blocks inside. Micah Parsons, you've seen him push for a bigger role. John Reed wasn't 100% to start the year. He's looked pretty good over the last 6-7 games or so. So these developments have definitely taken Penn State's defense to another level. And to circle back to, I think we had this discussion a week or two ago about what they can do and what they can be in 2019. That's kind of how I'm watching this group, is how good can they be in the future. And I think they can be very, very good. I think you're just starting to see them scratch the surface.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, this was a group that we knew was going to have some growing pains, and I don't think it's done having growing pains. I mean, I think that obviously there's some hiccups here and there that continue to pop up that, you know, can need to be fixed, and their depth is a problem and all that. Defensive line tackle injuries don't help, but Yeah, at the end of the day, I do believe that for Penn State to take the next step that it wants to, it has to keep developing its defensive tackles, it has to keep developing its linebackers, and it has to keep up with the strong safety play that it's had really dating back to, 2015, maybe 2014. I mean, they've had good safety play for a while now. And if you have that strength up the middle of your defense and they're starting to get it, Jan Johnson, I think, has probably done a nicer job than most want to give him credit for. He's obviously not the biggest guy and he gets run out of the play and run over sometimes, but I think he's probably done a nice job this year. Parsons keeps taking steps forward. You know, every little bit helps as this group tries to continue to take the next step forward, especially when they're not losing a whole heck of a lot next season.
Micah Parsons' first start in this game, that strip sack was pretty prolific the way he bent around. I guess it was probably a guard the way that he came through the line there. Penn State didn't recover the fumble, but I mentioned
that's amazing. Isn't the number of fumbles they failed to recover is just outrageous.
I understand the idea that fumbles are – there's luck involved.
Yeah.
But, I think Penn State hasn't controlled its own luck very well in those situations.
Yeah.
And this was a good example of that. I think there was an opportunity probably just to fall on the ball. And instead, you have somebody, it was Sharif Miller, trying to do something a little bit more with it. And you end up not recovering the ball at all and ended up with a penalty then, too, in addition. So just an all-around disaster end to what started as a good play. Parsons' start came at the expense of Cam Brown, who was benched for a half, presumably for some kind of disciplinary issue, and not Koa Farmer. I'm curious if Koa is going to be a starter next week against Maryland. It's senior day, so I'm guessing he will be. But that was a head-scratcher to me without knowing the Cam Brown situation as how Cam Brown's on the bench and Cole Farmer's not. But we ended up getting an explanation for that.
Yeah. So, minor violation of team rules that apparently surfaced Friday. I don't know what that was. Cam Brown sat the first half. Parsons earned the start. I think a lot of people thought, well, why don't they just start him over Koa Farmer? Koa Farmer, I thought, had a decent game on Saturday. That's an argument that's going to just, there are going to be people probably a year from now going back and saying, well, why didn't Penn State start Parsons over Farmer? But it doesn't really matter at this point. Penn State sort of dug in and decided what it's going to do this season. So, we'll see how it all plays out in the final week of the regular season here. But I would expect Penn State to go back to its usual starting lineup for the for senior day in the finale.
Cam Sullivan Brown also got his first start. You saw more of Jahan Dotson. You saw Justin Shorter play a bunch of snaps. You also saw on Rutgers' side, Art Sikowski really has not developed. I think he's got 18 interceptions, two horrible picks that we saw in that game. I'm not sure where Rutgers is going, but they lose to Penn State 20-7, and that's a wrap on that recap. I think everybody wants to move on, looking ahead to Maryland. We're looking ahead on this show to the Big Ten. We'll talk about Maryland, Ohio State coming after this.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority and its recycling partners thank you, football fans, for your increased participation in game day recycling efforts. Remember, recyclables go in the blue bags or in the blue containers. That's plastic bottles, glass bottles, and metal cans. Everything else goes in the clear trash bags. Securely tie the bags and leave them where you parked. And remember, don't leave your grills, chairs, and other bulk items behind. Nittany Nation, let's be Penn State proud and keep our grounds looking great.